8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Isn't that amazing? God did all that before the world even began. He did that. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which also, now verse 12 is what I want to focus on tonight. For the which also I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice some things about the passage here tonight. Apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he's giving really Timothy a testimony of what God has done in his life, how God has changed him. And Paul says this about his testimony. He says, "Be not ashamed of your testimony." Be not ashamed of your testimony. Now, can I tell you tonight that some of us may have not have lived the best Christian life before we got saved? And sometimes that previous testimony brings us some shame and maybe brings us a little bit of fear that we do not want to let folks know what kind of a person we were. I have a good friend, Brother Tony Jackson. He always keeps a picture in his wallet of what he used to look like before he got saved. And he'll take that picture out. He showed it to me one time, and he had long hair going down to the middle of his back. And I said, "Tony, that's very cute." I said, "You look so sweet with hair like that." But can I tell you what? When you get saved, your testimony changes. You're now a child of God. You're a children of the light. You walk in the light. That is your testimony. Amen? And it should be our testimony that we don't walk in any kind of darkness after that. We walk in the light and live in the light of God because that testimony someone in the world needs to see. We're reminded in Scripture that before we get saved, we were in darkness. We used to be in darkness. But God says, now you're the children of light. And so because of that, we have no reason to be ashamed of our testimony. We have every reason to let this world know what God did in us. And that is what Paul was doing here. He was saying, hey, let everybody know the testimony that you have. Now, I think it's interesting that Timothy, he had a testimony that wasn't the kind of testimony that he went into deep sin. He didn't go off and, you know, get drunk. He wasn't like the prodigal son that went away but came back to the father. That's not his testimony. His testimony that he had, he grew up under a godly mother and a godly grandmother who raised him in the Lord, and he never wandered off. And by the way, let me say, if you've been raised in church, don't ever think that out there the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Like one man said, he said, the reason the grass looks greener is because there's a sewer on the other side of the fence. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people can attest to the fact that that is true. That is true. So he said, don't be ashamed. Whatever your testimony for the Lord is, let your testimony shine. Amen? Hey, listen, if you used to live a life that was an addict, can I tell you what? God can use your new testimony to help addicts today. If you were have a previous testimony where you were in a false religion, You have a testimony, a new testimony now, that you are saved. And you're a Baptist too, amen? You've got a new testimony. You've got a good testimony. And Paul's saying to Timothy, don't be ashamed of it. All right, now go verse 12 with me. I want to show you the four things that this did in the Apostle Paul. Number one, for the which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, notice, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. We need never, ever be a Christian that is grabbed by shame. Amen? Don't ever live ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm glad that I'm a Christian. Hey, listen, I get to wake up and you get to wake up every morning knowing that if that were the last day of your life, it only gets better from here. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm not ashamed. Those people at work need to know that you're not ashamed. Those neighbors need to know that you're not ashamed. Those old friends who are not serving the Lord and living a different life than you, they need to know that you're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing, notice this. He said, I know whom I've had believed. I know whom I have believed. I know the Lord. Listen, God's teaching us to tell people to have this confidence in our heart that wherever we go, we know who we believe in. And you know what that means? It means when we go through trials or troubles in life, or you have problems, that you trust God through those problems and those trials. That you know God's going to lead you through them. You know why? Because you know whom you have believed. It means that when you go through afflictions and when things don't work out in life, you'd be surprised how many Christians kind of quit and falter when things don't work out the way they thought that they should or the way they wanted them to work. But God never promised us everything would work out good. God did promise us this, though. He told us, you can make it if you just know whom you are believing in. When finances get out of control or difficulties arise, do you know who you believe in? Do you know who you believe in? When there's times of life when you're discouraged, you can still know who you believe in. When there's times of life when you're tempted, you better know whom you're believing in. Amen? Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Number three, and I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. What was he persuaded to do? He said, I'm persuaded he is able. Amen. I'm persuaded he is able. You know, God is able to do anything. We're reminded in Scripture that the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the kind of God we serve. It doesn't just say he can do above what we ask or think. It says he can do, and it doesn't even say he can do abundantly above what we ask or think. It says he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, we just need to be persuaded that we're serving that kind of God. Amen? Because events and things in our life mount on us and we think it's impossible to get through them. We think somehow it's just, you know, sometimes all we can do is look at the immediate difficulty. But God said, know whom you have believed and be persuaded that he is able. It's funny because sometimes you think these things happen in life and you think I'll never get through them. And I like what one preacher said. He said, my favorite verse in the Bible is that verse that says, and it came to pass. It came, but it also passed. And I want to tell you something. Just hold on to the Lord during those times. Hold on to the Lord. Be persuaded of the God that you are serving. Amen? And then notice lastly, he said, that which I have committed unto him. You see, when you know God, you're persuaded of him. that he is able, then you can be fully committed to him. Fully committed. Committed to the Lord. Hey, when you really know how good God is and how wonderful and amazing he is, you have no problem being committed to him. Amen? Now, commitment's a hard thing for a lot of people today. But it's not a hard thing if you know the one that you are committed to. Amen? If you know the one you're committed to, it's not that hard because you know he is the one that created the sun, the moon, the stars. He hung the stars in space. He put all the planets in our solar system spinning around. And I think it's kind of funny that some of them spin one way and God allowed some of them to spin another way. Amen? I think he does that just to make the atheists scratch their heads in the middle of the night. Wonder how that happens. But I'm saying to you tonight, when things happen in your life, the reason we can be committed to God is because we're persuaded that he is able and we know whom we have believed. That truth right there will get you through anything at any time, in any way, under any circumstances. It's sad to see sometimes if a Christian falters and fails in their Christian life because they did not know the God whom they're serving. They didn't know his compassion. They didn't know that he was like the father of the prodigal son. And when the prodigal son came home, he didn't hate him. He didn't reject him. He didn't say, all right, you bad son, you get nothing. No, he welcomed him back. He put the shoes on his feet. He put a ring on his finger. He welcomed him home. That's the kind of God we serve. And I want to tell you that that kind of God is worthy of us giving all of our commitment to and letting God be the one in our life to whom we're committed. Are you committed to the Lord? Are you committed to the Lord? You say, how do I be more committed to the Lord? Get to know him in his word a whole lot better. You could be more committed to him next Sunday than you are tonight by just spending a week in the word. Amen? Just a week in the word can make you so much more committed to him. Then notice, closing, what he said here. I'm closing again. Amen? Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast. You know what he's saying? He's saying, remember what you've heard preached. Remember what you've heard preached. Hold fast those words. Don't let those words go out of your heart. Don't let them go in your mind. Now, obviously, we can't remember every sermon we've heard. How many of you remember every sermon that I've preached? Nobody? You broke my heart. Amen? No. Truth is, obviously, we can't remember every sermon. But you know what? I believe there's truth of some kind that God has for you every time you hear the word preached. There's something there. And when you get it and you ask God to lodge it within your heart, then when you need it the most, God will give it to you and God will pull it up in your mind. See, with that, there's no reason to be uncommitted. There's no reason to be uncommitted. There's every reason to say, God, I know who you are. You're the God that saved me and loved me. Paul was saying this as a previous murderer and one who hated Christians. But now he is a Christian. He is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he's saying, now that I know whom I'm serving, now I can serve God with all my heart, be committed, and hold every word that he says in my heart, my mind. Well, I believe that's the truth that he's trying to teach us. So I ask you tonight, are you committed like God wants you to be? Have you plunged in? Some Christians put their toe in the water, But you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to know him and commit to him. So we just plunge right in. And like they used to tell us, the old expression, Hop on, come on in, the water's fine. Because it is. Be committed. Don't be ashamed. Know who you have believed. And hold fast the words that God has caused you to hear. Are you doing that tonight? Let's do it tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.